This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Thanksgiving is upon us, and if you're like me, your stretchy pants are laundered and ready for the big day. Are you hosting this year? Are you cooking for a crowd? We know how stressful all that preparation can be, so we have a panel of chefs here to answer your questions, calm your nerves, and offer some helpful tips and advice. Joining me now are chef and CEO of Je ne sais Fuqua, Mona Bronson Fuqua. Welcome back, Mona.
Hey, Lucy. It's nice to be back.
Great to have you. La Soupe founder, Susie DeYoung. Thanks for being here, Susie.
Thanks, Lucy.
Chef and owner of Salazar, Mitas, Goose and Elder, and Daylily, Jose Salazar. Welcome back, Jose.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And chef and owner of Aunt Flora's Kitchen and Cobbler Pie Company, Aunt Flora Mincy. Thanks for being here, Aunt Flora.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Do you have questions for our experts? What are you in the middle of making? Are you at the panic stage of preparation? Take a deep breath and give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Let's tackle the turkey first. Why is it so intimidating, Susie? Do you even need to make it? What is your most important advice on serving size, thawing? How do you like to cook the turkey the best?
In the oven.
Okay.
I'm not a deep fryer.
You're not sticking in a fryer outside.
I don't like the frying thing. I've actually, we did a wedding with turkey for like 400 people.
Oh, my goodness.
And the only way offsite, so the only way we could do it was deep frying it to be able to get it all hot and served hot. So that's when I did it, hot fried turkey. But otherwise, I'm an oven girl.
So do and you brine? What's your secret?
You know, my sister's going to kill me. She's got the turkey this year.
Oh.
We transfer one year to another.
Alternate.
And she's got the turkey this year, and then I do the stuffing and some of the sides. She's dry brining, and I think she dry brined last year.
Okay.
And I usually dry brine as well.
Yeah. Why do you like that best?
Because I don't have a refrigerator big enough to put the whole turkey in.
How big a turkey do you get?
Well, we usually do 18 to 20s.
Okay. Okay.
So, about that.
Okay. What about you, Aunt Flora? What are your turkey secrets?
A brown paper bag.
What? Tell me more about
that.
Yeah.
That's what my grandma used to cook her turkey in, a brown paper bag.
A Kroger bag?
Like a Kroger bag.
In the oven?
In the oven, yeah.
Does the bag get burned up?
No, it doesn't. You can put holes in the bag.
Okay.
But basically, you just basically get your pan that you're going to put it in. You thaw your turkey out in the refrigerator a couple days prior. And then you just take all the giblets out and all that kind of stuff, and you do whatever you're going to do with the giblets, make gravy or whatever you want to do. But basically put the turkey in there, butter it up real good and put your seasoning on it and everything, your celery. And we put some potatoes and stuff like that in there and carrots, just like we would a pot roast, and just put it in the oven for a couple hours and take it out. And it's just good and brown and baked.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. I wish we were live on TV, because I'm sure the look I gave you were like,
I was like, a brown paper bag?
Yeah, that's right.
I'll tell you what, Google it. Google it.
I
go on
it.
Old school. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh,
cook
yeah.
it in brown paper
I
bag.
I know people who cook theirs that way.
Yeah. Jose, what about you? Are you a wet brine kind of guy? I mean, there are a lot of people who believe in that. And even if their fridge isn't big, they could put it in a cooler with lots of ice for that wet brine.
Yeah, no, actually, I am very much into the wet brine versus the dry. And the reason being, turkey tends to dry out. So if you brine it, you're adding flavor, but you're also adding moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did the cooler thing. And then it was too warm out. So I had to add a whole bunch of ice to my cooler because I had to have it outside on the porch. And I just want to make sure. So that you have to take that into account, if it's really chilly out, there's no issue. But I had to add a bunch of ice and add a little more salt to balance out the ratio of salt to water.
Yeah. What else do you put in your brine? Anything besides salt?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I put tons of garlic, bay leaves, rosemary, thyme, lots of peppercorns. And this year I put some lemon wedges.
Lemon wedges. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we already have a caller on the line. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Well, we had some last minute changes. We were initially going to visit my in-laws and have Thanksgiving dinner with them. They both got sick. Oh. And so we're scrambling to put something on for tomorrow. I got some turkey thighs this morning. I got them brining. And I have a vision in my head. I'm thinking of making a pan dressing and then putting the thighs on. I'd like to see them, you know, the skin nice and crispy on top, and then the dressing soaking up the juices and fat from the thighs. I guess my question is about the order of things. I'm thinking of starting my thighs first, and of course I'll have the dressing all already made, and then at some point when the thighs are partially done, putting them on top of the stuffing. I'm a little leery of putting the raw thighs right on top of the stuffing. I guess what I want to know is at what point would it be safe for me to say, okay, the thighs are, they're good now. I can go ahead and put them on the dressing and let them finish.
What do you think, Mona? You're nodding your head.
I was hoping he was going to say he wasn't going to put them directly on there.
Yeah, so you don't want turkey thigh sushi dressing.
That's bad.
Yeah.
I like that he had the good presence of mind to say, I'm going to do parts instead of trying to make a whole turkey work in this circumstance. I think he's right. And I think that if you get to about halfway through, if your turkey thighs have gotten to about, you want them done at 165. So I would say when you get to 140, 150, it's okay to put them on the put them on your dressing and finish that way. And yes, you want your skin crispy, but you don't want to burn it. So I probably would tint it with some tinfoil first and then finish.
Tinfoil would work. But I would just say if the dressing is almost cooked, like halfway cooked, and the chicken is, because it doesn't take long for the dressing to cook, right? So if you have your meat just about done and you put it on and put them both in the oven, they're going to probably even out at the same time and be done, you know. But I think foil is good. But if he wants it crispy, I think no foil.
Huh. Well, he's going to have to pull it at least 30 minutes out.
Yeah. Anything you want to add, Susie? This is making me hungry talking about this.
I'm in 100% agreement with Mona and Aunt Flora.
Okay. Well, Mark, I sure hope that helps. It sounds like you're really saving the day with these turkey thighs.
Sure. Thank you so much for having this program.
Thank you. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Bye-bye. I want to remind our listeners, we have a panel of chefs here for the full hour to answer your Thanksgiving cooking questions. If you've got a last-minute chore that you need to ask us about, or if you're in a panic about something else, please give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Jose, what are some turkey alternatives? What are some vegetarian options? Is that something that you consider for people coming around, you know, who will be eating around your table?
Yeah, you know what I did this year is I made a mushroom duxelle as a vegetarian alternative. Mushroom duxelle is basically like a mushroom pate, and you could serve that over noodles, as you know. I know it's not necessarily traditional, but what I really don't like is when you take something and you make it look, or you call it something that it's not. So like turkey, you know, tofu or whatever, like no, please don't.
Why? I don't get it.
If you don't want to eat the turkey, why do you want the tofu to look like the turkey? It doesn't even make sense.
Exactly. In my mind is just make something that is vegetarian that is delicious, and don't worry about making it look like something else.
Yeah. I like that only in the cheekiest sense. My husband, one year for dessert, my sister was hosting, he made a Rice Krispie treat turkey that was spectacular.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, behind that. Yeah, it was really fun.
I can get with that, but I'm a bit like that about everything where if you're vegetarian, that's great. I'm all for it. But please don't call a patty a hamburger. Let's just call it a veggie patty and
veggie burger.
Call it a day, and everybody can be happy. Yeah. Don't try to trick me.
Yeah. Mona, do you have any vegetarian go-to options?
I do, partly because my father has been a vegetarian since I was about 11.
Oh,
so
wow.
Overall, we always have to have an option.
Yeah.
So we do vegetarian collard greens. My collard greens usually have smoked turkey, but this time of year, no none. But for a substitute for turkey, I like the mushroom plan, but I put mine in a dressing. So I have, there are four pans of dressing at my house year because I've got four different groups of people.
You sound like me.
It's a thing. I've got the people who don't eat any meat in theirs, but theirs has mushrooms in it. I have the people who don't eat any pork, but I use sausage. So I have the turkey sausage people. Then I have the pork sausage people.
That's a
and
lot.
Then I have the... seafood people.
How about that gluten-free?
Huh? Oh, no. See, I have to draw the line somewhere.
That's a lot.
Do it with the gluten-free.
I got that.
I do a seafood stuffing that has shrimp, sausage, apples, onions.
Well, that sounds good.
And depends on what my budget is looking like, either crab or lobster.
Wow.
All in the, yeah.
That sounds like a main course right there.
Yeah, that is. So what I do actually is I keep everything comfort. So everything Southern, everything comfort. And so I go back to what I made on Martha Stewart, which is a vegetable pie.
I like that name drop too. That was good.
Yeah, that was good. Right? Oprah, Martha Stewart, USA.
Yeah.
There you go.
So basically I just make a vegetable pie and I put collard greens in it. You know, I kind of stew my collard greens and cook all my other broccoli, cauliflower, corn, carrots, green beans, and put that in a roux. And
like a pot pie, but with vegetables.
Exactly like a pot pie. And people who don't eat meat, that's what they have. And I use all vegetable juice, vegetable broth. Yeah. And I do my collard greens like that, too. I do it with just lots of butter and lots of soul seasoning and no meat.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. I like that.
Susie, what about gravy? What is your, what, do you have gravy secrets? Do you make it from pan drippings?
It's just funny because my other sister's going to Dayton and she was charged with the gravy. And she's like, how do you do gravy without the turkey? And, you know, and just was in a panic about it. And I said, I always make the stock the day before anyway, because I want the stock in my dressing for the moisture. So I'm actually going to my other sister who's hosting this year to pick up the turkey neck to make, you know, to me, if you get it 90% of the way there, then you take the turkey out and all that lovely caramelization and stuff. You just dump what you already made in it. I'm French. I use butter. Butter and flour. It's a roux.
I'm Southern. I use a lot of butter. Okay. Lots of butter.
I actually just watched the it was even longer, this one, the Jacques Pepin, like 5-minute turkey, how to prepare a turkey. And the whole time I kept going, no, you do not do that. What are you doing? I did not agree for the first time. I did find it fascinating that he cooked it right side up for 30 and then flipped it. Cooked the rest of the way breast side down.
Okay.
And then flipped it again to crisp the skin.
That's a lot of turkey flipping. That's a lot of room for
error.
Well,
I laughed because I thought, well, yeah, you've got a 10-pound turkey when you do 22 pounds and it goes flying.
Across
the hard.
They're going to be slippery part way through.
Yeah.
Too.
And he only used salt and pepper, no brine. The liver was his treat, chef's treat, which we used to take the liver and then chop it with hard-boiled egg. An onion and parsley and a little bit of sherry and with saltine crackers, you know. And that was like our chef treat.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Wow.
So. Yeah, I come from get the giblets and you put them in your dressing.
Right.
But, yeah, I could definitely see doing it that same way.
And ours was always, and we still don't even know, like we're afraid to break the habit of the family is Papa always used Pepperidge Farm stuffing. Not the mix, just the seasoned croutons. And it's like, he was a French chef. But that's what he used. And that's what our family is used to eating. That's all they know. And so I still am like, I have all these beautiful brioche buns and I want to make it with that. So I thought, well, I'll make the vegetarian with the brioche bun. the gluten-free with the gluten-free bread.
Florida. And okay, but see, this gets into the ultimate holiday rule, which is no changing the recipes on the holiday. Whatever you had 30 years ago better that's be on the table.
Well, we're having that. Oh, wow. We're having our Pepperidge okay, Farm stuffing, but... Yeah.
You're branching out. Well, if you've got to make 65 kinds of stuffing anyway, you
I got
might as well
three.
Mix it up.
I got okay. three this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I had that fuss with my granddaughter before I got here about the dressing. And I'm like, honey, I've been making it like this for, but I like to use recipes. I like to go on Google. I say, girl, you're talking to Aunt Flora and you're going to try to Google a dressing that I'm trying to give you a recipe that works.
Yeah.
You know, make your
How
corporate.
Old is the granddaughter?
She's 30.
She's too old to be doing that.
16,
I get it. 30's too old.
Yes, because she's like, I like to try new things. I'm like, I've taught you how to make so many different things. Why don't you just want to make the... Well, she said, then I think about it. Why don't I just go and just get some, what you were saying, breadcrumbs. And I work a lot. I don't feel like doing all that stuff. I said, well, you shouldn't have started it. You know, because when you're cooking, it's work.
Do you do cornbread stuffing?
That's
then?
What I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mix. I do
buttermilk and the corn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I make
That's
the cornbread
first. That's what Jock did, too. And I'm like, you did not grow up eating cornbread stuffing, Jock. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm like.
That's what we do. We only make the cornbread. Sometimes put oysters in it or something like that, you know, to change it up. But, yeah.
That's kind of a controversial move, isn't it? Oysters in the stuffing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to be careful with the oysters.
It's a ratio thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you do, Jose? I'm just curious.
Are you with what specifically?
Stuffing. Your stuffing slash dressing.
Stuffing. I switch it up. I like to change it up every year. I love making a cornbread and like chorizo stuffing, but my wife's not a big fan. So you know, there was one year where I made two or three different ones because I had to have the vegetarian one. And, you know, but I kind of got away from that. So I just do one every year and either you take it or you leave it.
Amen. That's it right there.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this year I just made a vegetarian one, but I just made a really, really like intense, flavorful vegetable stock. I added my little secret ingredient, which is this is the Latin in me is – the sazon packets, you know, the little like MSG packets that have like the yellow coloring in them.
I'm so allergic.
So I add that to the vegetable stock, and that just gives it a ton of flavor.
So, you just gave a secret away.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of MSG. It's good.
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah. That's
and I also I took the livers and made a mousse out of them this year. I had really really beautiful fresh turkeys, and the livers were pristine. So I. Cooked them down with lots of red wine and thyme and shallots and garlic and pureed them up with a little bit of heavy cream. And
what time is dinner?
I know, because I'm thinking you're already done. Yeah. I haven't even started.
Oh, I'm done too.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, I got started on Sunday. You got to get early start, if you want to get everything done. And I think that's one of the big tips that I think, you know, home cooks aren't really necessarily aware of is they try to cram everything into like a day or two.
That's hard.
And to be, you know, to be efficient and to not freak out, you got to get started early.
Yeah.
So well, I make a prep list like up, I do at the restaurant. I make a prep list and I have it, you know, day by day. So today I only have a couple things and then tomorrow it's just really assembling everything.
Wow. Yeah,
that's smart.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, save your secrets. We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're talking this hour about Thanksgiving cooking with a panel of chefs who can answer your questions. My guests are chef and CEO of Je Ne Sais Fuqua, Mona Bronson Fuqua, La Soupe founder, Susie DeYoung, chef and owner of Salazar, Mita's, Goose and Elder, and Day Lily, Jose Salazar, and chef and owner of Aunt Flora's Kitchen and Cobbler Pie Company, Aunt Flora Mincy. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. And do not despair. If you feel behind, we have a panel of experts who can help you get back on track. We do have a caller on the line. Hey, Casey, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hey there. Thank you guys so much for having this panel. Right before you cut to commercial, though, Jose was talking about getting ahead of schedule. And I had the bright idea this year that I was going to get way ahead of schedule. And so I woke up bright and early this morning and peeled and diced all of my potatoes for the mashed potatoes tomorrow. You know, you can soak them in the fridge overnight in some water. So I was like, great, I'm going to do that. Now I'm getting a little nervous that they're going to soak for too long because it's going to be close to 30 hours before I'm ready to mash them.
What do you think, Jose?
Oh, there's no issue in that. That's totally fine. Yeah, there's no such thing as soaking them too long. What happens is some of the starch will come off, but that's actually beneficial because if you have all that extra starch in your potatoes, they can get like a little too thick or too gummy. So it's actually beneficial to soak them overnight.
See, you've done a good thing without even, just instinctually, Casey.
Excellent mise en place awesome. Without even
Thank
knowing.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Any other tips for what I can do today to keep ahead?
What's your menu?
Oh, we've got some stuffing, deviled eggs, the mashed potatoes, of course, the turkey. What else have we got?
Get your eggs boiled.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Put them in the fridge.
Yeah, because they'll be a lot easier to peel if they're cold.
Yeah.
Cut your bread for your stuffing.
Mm-hmm. Unless you buy Pepperidge Farm already, guys. Then every time I do, I cringe, and then I go, it's just what I do.
Yeah, the Pepperidge Farm people got to make a buck too, Susie.
I know. That's exactly right.
Look at it this way. It's not White Castle stuffing. Have you ever heard about that?
No, I have not.
No. That sounds like an abomination.
Before we all say, I'm going to say... Think about it. It's got all the elements. Very fatty, beefy, livery kind of meat. You'd have them keep the pickles off. You got plenty of onion. The bread is built in. I hate to say it, but I've tried it to make stuffed mushrooms, and it was fire.
Wow. Okay, Casey. Wow. Maybe for next Thanksgiving, you can try that. Thanks so much for calling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also got an email from Anne. Anne emails, tomorrow I'm roasting a 6-pound turkey breast. I have a recipe that calls for adding a cup of dry white wine to the bottom of the roasting pan. While this sounds delicious, I'm worried that the wine will catch fire. Is this something to worry about? Susie, I'm going to throw this to you because.
Not happening.
Do not worry about the fiery wine.
I was more worried about the brown paper bag.
Okay.
I agree with
Take
that
it from
one.
A French woman. She knows about wine.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk atmosphere. When you've got a house full of guests and you're stuck in the kitchen cooking, how do you entertain yourself, Jose? Do you play music? Do you dance around? What do you do?
I do play music. I dance if the song's good. I'm so content just being in the kitchen that in itself just makes me happy. So I don't really need a lot of outside entertainment. Like I said, just a little music and just being in my groove in the kitchen is what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
And tomorrow you got to watch the Macy's Day Parade and the Westminster Dog Show. Those are my go-tos. Yeah. Got to. It's not Thanksgiving without that.
Yeah, I have family members who kind of have a gambling thing with the dog show. Like they all bet on a dog and then there's some goofy prize if one of the dogs wins. So
I like that.
Yeah. That is a cool idea.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You talking about the individuals being in the kitchen or are you talking about the whole atmosphere of the family and everybody around?
Well, tell us what you think, Aunt Flora. I mean, you've got the kitchen, but then you're right. There's the whole rest of it. What do you think is important?
I don't know. I just try to have all different types of snacks and stuff like that out to make them, you know. By the time they get the snacks, they're kind of settled down and everybody's, you know, you haven't seen each other for a while. Everybody's doing their own thing in their own world. Everybody comes together and share stories and get a chance to talk and get a chance to see the new babies that were born and all that kind of stuff like that. For me, I have a big TV in my kitchen, so I am serious about Christmas stories, Christmas shows. So I'm cooking and glancing up every now and then and watching my show and just kind of listening to it. But I'm always open for help. Somebody come and say, we need some help. I'm like, yeah, you can put that there. You can put that there. You can fill that plate. Yeah. Take that out there. So everybody just kind of pitch in and do what they do.
You're
how
ready
to
delegate.
How many people do you get when you said you got grandbabies? And
this year, usually it's all of our kids and their kids and brothers and sisters and stuff like that. This year it's different because I've cooked probably about 70 meals for different people to pick up for Thanksgiving for their own home.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so doing that, I'm actually going to my brother's this year, and they'll have everybody there, and okay. we just all bring something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many people is that total, do you think?
Oh, God. Probably about 50 people at least.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of
crowd.
People. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's six of us, and each one of us have to branch out
that's
from
right.
everybody,
yeah. right.
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah so, that's yeah. my house used to get almost that big. It won't be this year. I think I'm rounding out at 20 this year. Yeah,
that's a good amount.
That's plenty.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's plenty. That but plenty. Everybody brings something, and then we're responsible for certain things, and because I raised my kids around it, now mm-hmm. they're taking stuff over.
Yeah.
And so I don't have to spend the whole time in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I jokingly said to a coworker, I said this to LaToya, Susie knows who I mean, I said, I'm retiring this year. I'm going to sit on the couch and I'm going to drink a glass of wine and I'm going kiss babies and stuff, and I'm not going to cook. And she said, take a picture. I won't believe it till I see it.
That's right. I was just going to say, let me see that too. Because, yeah. You know, I hit the 7-0. So I'm like, when will I
yeah.
sit down? It's my passion. It's what I do. So yeah. it's like, I told my kids, I said, if you see me sitting in a chair and I seem like I'm asleep, I've gone to heaven right in my domain where I spend all my time.
Otherwise, you're up and moving, huh?
Yes.
I'm just curious how many people share Thanksgiving. Like this is the first year my son has a significant other and he's going to her home.
Ooh.
Because she lives in Dallas. So he's
wow.
like, she's coming home. And she wants to be with her family, so I want to be with her. And I was like, I hate
this. This is the because first time I'm, he's
yeah.
not going to be there. Wow.
And I married a man that doesn't have family here. Mm-hmm. So we get the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But mm-hmm. sharing it, I'm not so sure I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. That's tough. Yeah.
How you?
That's really hard because we used to have that same problem. You know, so now it's like my son and his wife and family, they used to all come. But they would take the time. You know, I mean, split the day up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. you go to there for so much, or you go to there and make sure you have dessert, or you go, it's usually us, you come here for food, you go there for dessert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have time with both families.
Yeah.
I think that's, when you look at the whole, talking about atmosphere and family and people in the kitchen, I think what we're really talking about is the time shared. So for me, what's on the table is important, but who I get to see at my table is more important. Mm-hmm. I don't care if we're eating peanut butter and jelly, if I get to eat peanut butter and jelly with the people that I care about.
Yes.
And that being the case, you try to branch it out. Now that my kids have, you know, people that are in their life, I just tell them, I'm like, my house is open. Mm-hmm. If you've got somebody that you want to bring, bring them. If you have someplace you want to go, don't go to someone else's home without a gift. This
oh, yeah.
is now talk about old school.
Yeah,
walking into somebody's home without some cookies on something.
Yeah.
A bottle of wine, some
that.
Flowers. Please come and bring part of yourself with you and leave it there.
That's great
yeah.
right there.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I want to remind our listeners, we're talking about Thanksgiving cooking for the full hour today. We have a panel of chefs to answer your questions. Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Let's talk about side dishes. Jose, do you ever mix it up with a different side dish? I know that my family, there are certain ones that we all have to have. And by the time you get that list together, there's not a whole lot of room for new stuff.
Mm, yeah, no, that's great. I agree with that. Like, there's the staples, you know, like the stuffing. I don't think, to me, you can't have Thanksgiving without the stuffing. Mm. Mashed potatoes, gravy, right? But every year I try to switch it up and do something a little different. So one of the things I'm putting a twist on this year is the green bean casserole. I'm doing it with Brussels sprouts.
Mm.
And I'm going to add some bacon to it. But I'm still going to use like the French's little like crispy onions. I love those.
That's I do too.
What about the canned soup? Do you cheat and use the cream of mushroom canned soup?
You know, I think I'm probably going to do that just because I got so much else going on. Yeah.
And I
don't think
that's
a bad
cheat. I shouldn't say cheat. Like, that's
no,
just
no,
part
no.
of the recipe
Cheat's okay.
sometimes.
I think there's certain things. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a bad cheat because it has the thickness and the richness that you're looking for. But I'll probably add some different spices. Like I might add a little bit of curry powder in there, or, you know, maybe some garlic, and just kind of spice it up a little bit. I'm also making, so I have two turkeys. I take one and I break it down and I do all different kinds of things with it. And then I took the bones and made a soup broth, and I'm going to add some carrots and some udon noodles. So it's a little weird. It's the first year I'm doing that. That's kind of like, you know, I figured, nobody ever serves soup and it's cold and soup season. So I'm like, all right, let's give this a shot. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes over.
Yeah. Mostly we'll see how your wife likes it.
I'm laughing that you're cheating on the green or trying a new green bean. I can honestly say last year was the first year I ever even tasted the traditional green bean casserole.
Really?
Nobody could believe it. Our family never ate it. I didn't understand it. I thought everybody was joking. I really truly did. Yeah. So this year, though, I was foraging Sunday and came home with a great deal of shrimp of the woods. So I'm going to try the green bean casserole using the shrimp of the woods as my mushroom for my mushroom sauce. And yeah, can't do it. I mean, I agree. I love those little fried onions. It's so stupid, but I love it.
Huh.
So, right. Yeah.
So you're going to make your own roux, though. You're not going to, like, crack open a can of soup and stick those shrimp of the woods
in
there.
No. I've been over way too many times.
Yeah.
No,
I just got the death stare from Susie in the studio.
No.
Yeah.
To me, the real key, though, is not using the canned green beans.
Yeah,
like right. Absolutely.
That's the nasty part, in my opinion.
Yeah,
right. So I was snapping peas last night, or snapping
fresh
beans.
Vegetables, yeah.
If you've got to in a pinch, since we're talking about people who might be on their last minute thing, especially if you're trying to do like a fresh green bean, if you have to cheat, get your bag of frozen green beans, buy a handful of fresh, not the whole pot worth, but just a handful.
Yeah.
Break those into your frozen and cook it that way. And then you get that fresh flavor without having to have spent the entire night snapping green beans.
Wow.
Onion, you can add a little onion to it, a little garlic. You know, and a little butter and really,
a lot of butter.
You can really make it taste pretty fantastic.
And I my other cheat is beer is your friend for things like green beans, for collard greens.
Oh, I thought you just meant as you were cooking.
That helps too. Okay. But no, actually, just especially when you're dealing with people who are vegetarian, I use a lot of beer to make like my collard greens. Mm. And at my house, speaking of sides, macaroni and cheese and collard greens better be on my table.
I've never had mac and cheese at a Thanksgiving.
Really?
Never.
Oh, my God. How can you not have mac and cheese?
I know.
Yeah.
Said, you're French. It's a Southern thing for us. You do mac and cheese and yams if you don't have nothing else.
Well, we have yams. Do you do mac and cheese, Jose?
I usually do. This year, I'm not. Oh, you know, this year, like I said, I'm switching it up. And I don't know. I'm curious to see what people say. Like some people might freak out. They'll be like, "Where's the mac and cheese?"
Yeah,
yeah.
And you'll be
we'll
like,
"See how it goes."
Yeah, you cook it next year. That's where it'll be.
No. You don't do that.
No, that's
mac
true.
And cheese. You have to have. You got to have cred for your mac and
that's
cheese.
That's a good point. Yeah,
you can't just be any old body walking in the door making the mac and cheese. You got to have three generations.
Yeah, you got to know. Put your foot in it.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you got to create some controversy, right? You got to fight about something. So
yeah, then you don't have to talk about politics if you're fighting
about
the mac and cheese.
Talk about the mac and cheese.
Yeah. We got an email from Tom. Tom emails, "I'm building my stock and sauteing leeks for my stuffing while I listen to today's Cincinnati edition and loving it. Great mix of chefs. Listening to NPR's Thanksgiving programming while I prepare my dishes is one of my favorite Thanksgiving traditions. Keep up the great work, Lucy and team. All the best for the holidays." Well, that's so nice. Thanks so much, Tom.
That's great, Tom.
Yeah. Nice to get fan mail.
Happy Thanksgiving, Tom.
Yes.
Usually, you do baked beans for like the summer, you know, like for your wedding. But I did baked beans this year.
Ooh.
As a side for Thanksgiving, just to
I like that.
Give a little twist and that, yeah, it's something
you can't go wrong
different
with baked
for,
beans.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And you cover the kids. The yeah. kid contingent, mm-hmm. who, yeah. you know, yeah. when they're picky.
Yeah.
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 And you're vegetarians.
There you go. Well, sure. if there's no bacon in
if
there.
If there's
no,
yeah.
I like old bacon on my baked beans.
Okay. I can do it both ways, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to be back with more talk about Thanksgiving cooking in just a moment. And we were going to talk about one of my favorite parts of the meal, dessert. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're talking this hour about Thanksgiving and how to make the day less stressful for the people doing the cooking. My guests are chef and CEO of Je ne sais Fuqua, Mona Bronson Fuqua, La Soupe founder Susie DeYoung, chef and owner of Salazar, Mita's, Goose and Elder, and Daylily, Jose Salazar, and chef and owner of Aunt Flora's Kitchen and Cobbler Pie Company, Aunt Flora Mincy. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Now, we have to talk about dessert, but before we do that, I want to bring up a very controversial topic, and that's cranberry sauce.
Oh, Lord.
Mona's like, don't do it, Lucy. You either love it or you hate it. How do you make cranberry sauce for haters? Are you a hater, Mona? You're just giving me a look like I can't believe
really
you went
like,
there.
I love cranberry sauce, and I love cranberry sauce with other things besides Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But I have one of those families. I was making fancy whole berry, my recipe, and my nieces and nephews told me, can we just get some cranberry sauce with the lines in it from the can?
Yep.
So when I went shopping yesterday, I discovered that they sell Ocean Spray in a 10-pound can.
Wow, I need that.
And I was like, you are kidding me.
No, so, that's what I got.
Really?
I don't make cranberry sauce. And I can't stand it, and I don't make it. My husband is a fanatic for it, and I've tried years making it. It just doesn't come out like the...
Like he wants it?
Yeah, well, you know, in the can, they put all this other stuff in there mm-hmm. to make it really firm. And,
yeah.
you know, that kind, other than that, when you make this a little... mushy and whatever. I don't know about how you do yours, but I don't make cranberry sauce. I buy it.
Yeah.
What do you? I was told not to make it, and then I said, "Well, then I'm not coming because I like cranberry sauce. I'm happy to make it, and I like whole. I mush a little of it, mm-hmm. a little sugar, a little orange. Mm-hmm. I have ginger, so I may throw that in this year, since I just saw it in my fridge before I came down.
Where do you stand on this question, Jose?
So I love it, and I make it every year, and every year nobody eats it.
Exactly.
Except for you. You're the only one.
So this year, I decided I'm not going to make it, but I'm substituting it with a green tomato and ginger chutney.
Oh, I saw that on your Insta.
Now that is good, because I made chow chow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, and yes, it's going to have the same effect where it's going to be a little bit tart, and it's going to cut through all the richness of all the heavy meats and sides, and so hopefully, you know, people will dig that, and maybe that'll be the new tradition. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to miss the cranberry. I love it.
I'll bring you some by, Jose. No fear.
Okay, I'm
nice.
Jealous.
You said you liked it with a ring and the
No,
pan.
They like it with the ring.
The kids, yeah.
I got your back, girl. I got your back.
I'm going to say, we had a very heated discussion about this in our preparation meeting for this show. I like it. You squeeze it from the can. It looks like an alien being born.
No, if you
do it right, it comes out in the whole tube shape with, and you can see the dents. Love it, love it, love it. I love it.
It's a very
I know it makes me low class, but I love it.
No.
You
but
like
you do live on the west side, right? You do live on the west side?
No, I live south of the river.
Oh,
so maybe that's
even
it.
Worse.
Yeah.
But you know the thing about the when you have it pre-made that you can't do it with the canned stuff. I guess you could, mm-hmm. but that you can do when you make it yourself mm-hmm. is then you take it and you put it in some cranberry muffins.
Oh.
You add it to some pancake mix mm-hmm. the next day.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
And you can do that.
Yeah.
So you got to, that is one of the things about Thanksgiving. While we're doing all this prepping for the day, you need to think ahead about what you're going to do with all
leftovers.
Of your leftovers.
Yes. Yep.
Because you've got a limited amount of time.
Right.
And can I just make a plug, since I'm an educator, can I make a plug for food safety?
Mm.
If you feel like, you know, if the gram doesn't eat, then nobody ate. If you feel like you got to have a picture, please take the picture, break down your bird, serve what you're going to serve, and put the rest rest in the fridge. Please don't have the hospitals working overtime because you had to have pictures of your bird.
Fair enough. We have Hillareth on the line. Thank you so much for calling. What's your question?
I would like to know, please, I'm glad that you have this program. I would like to know how you season greens for vegetarians without meat or anything like that.
Butter. And I'll tell you what, I cook greens with cabbage. So I clean my cabbage, saute, and fry my cabbage up a little bit with just a little salt and pepper. And then I add them to my greens. I add butter and just a little garlic, little salt seasoning. That's it. It doesn't take that much. And it's to the taste. Put in as much as you need. I can't tell you how much, but put in, you know, to make it to how it tastes good to you. So you'll know how others will receive it.
Yeah, I would agree, except the only change I would say. First of all, I ask my ancestors. Anytime I'm getting ready to cook something, I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. I'm like grandmother, auntie, uncle, whoever. I need y'all's input. And I agree with you, onions and garlic. But my two big favorites are beer. And when I say beer, I'm talking about the 99-cent can.
Yeah,
that,
I got you.
One 99-cent can of beer. And the other thing is smoked paprika is your friend.
I was just getting ready to say paprika. Yeah.
But the smokier it is, like if you can get a bourbon smoked or whatever, then you can kind of get that meaty flavor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hope that helps, Hillareth.
All right. And then the other question I had is cranberry sauce, orange cranberries. But is there such a thing as fixing it without cooking the cranberries?
Oh, so you can kind of make them with the raw cranberries, not cooking them first.
Actually, I don't have the recipe on me, but Cousin Kathy Kiefer Schwartz makes a wicked good cranberry relish that she likes to make because it's all raw. You throw the orange in, you throw the cranberries in, and if I'm not mistaken, I think she uses Jell-O mix.
Oh, wow.
Is that a, does anyone know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. I can't remember. I wish I she gave me the recipe because I really enjoyed it when she made it.
Yeah.
But,
I've had a relish like that, but you make it like, I'm going to say it wrong. Forgive me, my friends who are Jewish. Haroset.
Yeah,
which is the relish that you usually have, and so you add a little bit of wine, and that's never a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, Hillareth, I hope that helps. We've got some other callers on the line, so we're going to let you go, but I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. We have David on the line. What's your question, David?
Hey. Oh, well, this question was for Jose Salazar. I was going to ask him, how long should you put the can of cranberry sauce in the microwave?
Very technical question there.
That was good.
Well, it's done?
how long would you put that whole can in there? And should I go ahead and put it in there?
Yeah. I'm not a chef, but I would say no. Don't put that can in there. I like mine cold, so maybe that's just
same here.
Yeah.
We got some trolls.
Thank
here.
You, David. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening. I'm going to hang up on you now. Okay. We got an email from Susan. Susan says, I just mashed my rutabaga, but it is bitter. Help. Anybody know what to do about that?
Little sugar and butter.
A little brown sugar and some butter.
Yep. Okay. Brown sugar and butter.
Okay. And Tom emails, looking for a wild turkey, a real wild turkey, not a farm-raised bird. Been trying to connect with hunters with no luck. Will be learning how to hunt my own. Does anybody know if there's a place that sells real wild turkeys around here?
I don't know of anyone.
That's
tricky. I don't think you can.
Ask Siri. She'll tell you.
Ask Siri. There you go. Well, we can't go without talking about dessert. Aunt Flora, you are a cobbler expert. What do you recommend? Do you have any pumpkin or sweet potato pie recipes that you love? How do you get the perfect crust?
Butter.
There you go.
I don't use lard or anything when I make my crust. But that's a good thing and a bad. When you bake it, it's delicious. But when you try to freeze it, and take the pie out, it comes out mushy. Mm-hmm. So you need the Crisco type thing. But I only do pumpkin on request. I stick with sweet potato, but I don't make sweet potato pies. I make sweet potato cobblers.
Mm.
So I do the traditional sweet potato batter or whatever. and I just layer it like lasagna. I mean, I put my crust in the bottom, I put my filling in my crust, another layer of filling on, you know, and bake it in a casserole type dish. I mean, for my customers, of course, I put in an aluminum pan, but sure. Yeah, for home, yeah, I use a casserole dish. That's basically, I mean, you can go any kind of fruit for your cobbler or your pie. Peach is my, you know, my most best seller, mm-hmm. Is the peach. But when you don't have the peaches, people are like, well, you don't have the peaches. They're not in season. What do? You can get frozen peaches, too, and use them, and they turn out just as well. You cook them a little bit less because when they melt down, they get a little mushy. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, peach cobbler, mixed fruit. I do blackberry, peach, and apple together. And that kind of stuff is simple. I'll just say this. If you're somebody just learning how to do something for Thanksgiving, don't sweat it that you have to make everything from scratch. Mm-hmm. If you're just learning and you want to know a really good dessert, get you some pie crust and, you know, butter up you some fruit and good seasoning and spices. Put it in there, bake it, and it should be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they ask you if it's homemade, yes, I made it in my home.
Exactly.
Yes.
I applied the heat. I cut some stuff up.
A lot of people are like, are you okay with me telling people that I made this? I don't care. But just, you know, just make something.
Yeah. Susie, are there any other desserts that are kind of your go-to favorites at Thanksgiving?
I'm actually bringing one back. And I'm not sure that we had this at Thanksgiving or Christmas. It was my grandmother's recipe for a hazelnut and raspberry tort.
Mm. Oh, that sounds good.
And the thing that was like, she died when she was like 98. But for as long as I knew her, she was the biggest health nut. And she would always say, you're putting too much sugar in it. Use whole wheat flour. That other process, not good, you know? I mean, and so this cake is three ingredients, eggs, sugar, and hazelnut.
Wow.
That's it. And then whipped cream and fresh raspberries, raspberry jam in between. I used to serve it at the Exemplar 50 years ago. I don't think I've made it since, but I made a lot back then. Stuck in my head.
The muscle memory.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm bringing that one back. I'm going to bring another cake over using dairy-free whipped cream. I don't know what that is, but she's gluten intolerant. Dairy intolerant.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to make her one with dairy-free.
Okay.
And well, I've had people call for sugar-free. I just use Splenda or what's the other? Oh, God, I can't
Trulia.
Even think.
Yeah.
No, sock root or something like that.
Monk fruit.
Okay. Monk fruit. That's it. Monk fruit for the sugar-free.
Well, I am sorry to end this conversation, but I am hungry, so I am glad I'm going to get to eat something after
this.
I've been talking with chef and CEO of Je Ne Sais Fuqua, Mona Bronson Fuqua, La Soupe founder Susie DeYoung, chef and owner of Salazar's Mita's Goose and Elder and Daylily, Jose Salazar, and chef and owner of Aunt Flora's Kitchen and Cobbler Pie Company, Aunt Flora Mincy. Thank you all so much for your time today. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
This has been Cincinnati Edition. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.